Hello, all sentient beings, and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk about all news, comics, and media related to the... On this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode, we review Transformers, Issue 15. Hasbro acquires Entertainment One, and tell your crush how you really feel with Transformers Valentine's Day cards. Today is Friday, January 17th, 2020, and this is episode 164 of Transmissions Alt Mode.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that believes it's okay to bitch slap one of your lieutenants if that one is Starscream. I'm your host Charles, aka Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Jeremy, aka Yakko.
Hey, how you doing?
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
Hey, how's it going? Let's talk Transformers.
All right, as always, we start off the show by thanking our Donatrions, those lovely people who give us money on Patreon and PayPal. And we really appreciate you guys for supporting the show and keeping us going. If you are not a Donatrion, all you got to do is go to transmissionspodcast.com/support, and that's where you can find links to sign up either on Patreon or PayPal if you would like to help us out. You can also help us by buying merchandise from our TeePublic store, and that's at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. And you can also go to our friend K-Girl store and check out her art at teepublic.com/user/superstarK. So check out some of our Transmissions designs and check out her Transformers-themed designs. Next week, this Monday, coming Monday, is the next episode of Empire of Rust, episode 15, Buses and Boulevards. So look for that on Monday. We also had, this week, we had the survey results for Empire of Rust. That was also included in our Best of 2019 survey, so... Mike talks a little bit about some of the feedback he got for Empire of Rust in a special episode that was in your feed this week. So it should already be there if you haven't listened to it yet. But check it out. All right, let's get into all the comics and media stuff. And we'll start off with some comics news. Okay, so first up, some... a cool little Christmas present from TF Nation. They put out their Transformers animated fan fiction comic, Trial and Error. This was done in the 2017. This was released originally in the 2017 TF Nation. We actually got some copies of that, physical copies of that, thanks to some of our friends in the UK. They are releasing a digital copy for free now at the TF Nation website. So you can download that, both a low-res and a high-res version. This was originally written by Chris McFeely and Jim Sorensen, and art by Josh Perez, Ed Peary, Hurt Spalter, Gavin Spence, and Andrew Turnbull. It was a really cool comic. It kind of... is an unofficial end to the Transformers animated series, so take a look. And if you didn't get a copy, now you can read it for free. Next up, we've got a book listing from Flint Dilley. You may remember him as one of the architects of the Transformers cartoon series and Transformers the movie. He's been at lots of conventions. We interviewed him a few years ago as well. And he's got a memoir coming out. It's called The Games Master, My Life in the 80s Geek Culture Trenches. So Flint Dilley has put his hands on lots of your favorite 80s nostalgia properties. So he talks a lot about all the stuff he did there. So you can pre-order this book through Amazon, and we have a direct link to the Amazon listing as well. It's supposed to be out in June, so June 9th of 2020. So look forward to that. So that's all the comics news, and we'll move on to our comic review. This week we are reviewing Transformers number 15. So this is written by Brian Ruckley, art by Anna Malkova, pages 1 to 3, 8 to 9, and 12 to 20, by Bethany McGuire Smith, pages 4 to 7 and 10 to 11. Colors by Joanna LaFuente on Anna Malkova's pages and Josh Burcham on Bethany McGuire Smith's pages. Letters by Jake M. Wood. And editors David Marriott and Tom Waltz. Now, this is a little weird. We had Tom B. Long. We love him. He's been doing the letters for a long time. I just find it interesting that we go from Tom B. Long, which you got to admit sounds a bit like a porn name, to Jake M. Wood is our new letterer. So welcome, Jake. We hope you stay on for a while, but got to admit that's the name's a bit interesting there.
I thought you were just going to mention the fact that he has the middle initial, you know, in his credit.
Mm-hmm.
But no, you had to go down to the gutter.
My apologies to Tom B. Long and Jake M. Wood. That's what she said.
Some of you were just learning of the gutter. I was born in it.
All right, Transformers number 15, The Change in Your Nature, Part 3. We have three covers for this issue. The first one is art and colors by Josh Perez, and it's Megatron with several Decepticons in the background. We've got Soundwave, Shockwave, Shadow Striker, and Flame War. Cover B is by Josh Burcham, and it's a close-up of Shockwave with the Decepticon symbol reflected in his optic. And then the Retailer Incentive cover by Luca Pizzari with colors by Josh Burcham, and it gives us it's actually, I think, the most relevant cover for the issue because it shows Megatron giving a beat down to Shockwave with Slipstream and Six Shot behind him, looking on, looking like they're about to try and stop him, which wouldn't be a good idea. So, Jeremy, which cover would you like to pick?
I like the one that Josh worked on, which is all three, but no, I as I alluded to in Trips to the Store this week, the cover A with Josh Perez, I got, and I love it. I think he's very underrated as an artist. Like I have a cover I commissioned from him a few years ago that is great, and I think this is great. Glad he finally got to do art on a cover, and mm-hmm. hopefully this leads to more. I will say Josh Burcham's is great too. I like it. The Retail Incentive cover, I didn't really like as much, but I did get kind of a G2 vibe from it, like a classic Marvel. Just like maybe it's Megatron's face and the preponderance of yellow, but I don't know. But yeah, cover A is my favorite.
All right, Daryl, which cover are you picking?
Yeah, I gotta agree. That cover A is just, that's awesome. And to see, Josh doing a cover like that is great. And cover B, Burcham's cover is no slouch either. So, they're both really good, but I think just, cover A, Perez's cover is just really cool with the different characters on there too.
All right, well, I'm going to make it a clean sweep and also pick cover A, Josh Perez. Yeah, his art is excellent, and this is a really nice showcase for it. So, yeah, I hope this leads to more for Josh Perez. And, And yeah, as you guys said, the other covers were nice as well. Josh Burcham's cover was nice. I like his art as well. He gives me Jeff Senior vibes, which is one of my favorite artists from G1. So I like that Josh has kind of adopted that style a little bit. All right, so those are the covers, and then we will get into the story. So this is things are ramping up for the build up to the Autobot Decepticon Civil War on Cybertron, and let's see what's going on. After the confrontation with the Ascenticons and the Rise last issue, where four bots were killed, Sentinel Prime has had enough. He broadcasts a public address and declares the Ascenticons are the problem, not the solution. They offer only false promises of unlimited Energon and expansion for everyone, but Sentinel Prime is here to tell you it's just deception. From Ascenticon headquarters, Megatron watches the broadcast with contempt. He notes the reluctance of erstwhile friend Orion Pax standing next to Sentinel Prime during his address. But for Megatron, this is irrelevant. It's time for him to take back control. Sitting in an Energon infusion harness, he tells scientist Giaxis to give him everything. Giaxis warns him the process will not be pleasant and that this will drain their emergency Energon reserves. But Megatron must take action now or all is lost. So Giaxis flips the switch. As Megatron undergoes the intense Energon power-up, he reflects on what brought him to become the leader of the Ascenticons and drove him to take control for Cybertron's future. He began as a miner, working in the Energon mines, fought as a gladiator in the arena, and later served in the war against the threefold spark that threatened Cybertron. During one mission, he encountered Exarchon, the threefold spark, on the battlefield, and was nearly captured. Megatron was rescued by other warriors like Warpath and Blitzwing, but he realized Exarchon's true power was his strength of will and sense of purpose. Exarchon was a ruthless, monstrous force of nature that drove events around him, and Megatron took this lesson to heart. Back in the present, Bumblebee meets with Orion Pax and Chromia for a debriefing after the disaster with Soundwave and the Rise. Bumblebee's spying has led to a revelation. Soundwave of the Ascenticons was working with the Rise. Soundwave killed those Rise members for knowing too much. What's more, Soundwave has recruited all of the Ascenticon Guard. They're all handpicked by him under his thumb, with the exception of Bumblebee and Alita One. The connections are falling into place. Orion Pax shares what they've discovered as well. Frenzy, one of Soundwave's minions, is likely the one who murdered Brainstorm and kicked everything off. And Barricade was the one who passed information to the Rise about the Voyne scavenger witness. And the Rise used Quake to carry out the task of silencing the Voyne, which means he also killed Bumblebee's mentee, Rubble. Bumblebee feels betrayed again. Why didn't Pax tell him they suspected Barricade? But Pax didn't want Bumblebee to blow his cover in the Ascenticons or do something he'd regret. But now that they have all this evidence, they have no choice but to tell everything to Sentinel Prime. Back in the past, Megatron laments the aftermath of the War of the Threefold Spark. They won and defeated Exarchon, but they still lost everything they had been fighting for. The Energon mines and gladiator pits were shut down. All bots' Energon rations were reduced. Forgings and extraterrestrial expansion ground to a halt. Nominus Prime and the Autobots were leading Cybertron into stagnation. Megatron's mentor, Termagax, opposed this course of action. She founded the Ascenticons to show Cybertron a better way, but she didn't have the will to see it through. And that's where Megatron comes in. He realized that this was his purpose, and he is what Cybertron needed to secure its future. In the present, Megatron arrives at the secret base of the Rise to put his house in order. He orders a full lockdown of the base while he meets with Shockwave, the leader of the Rise. Shockwave is annoyed by Megatron's unexpected visit, but Megatron isn't happy either. Shockwave's group of troublemakers have become more and more of a problem as they've gone rogue. Shockwave responds that they are in need of Energon since they lost their covert Energon receiving array, and many of the Rise's followers demand full power. Megatron brushes off Shockwave's excuses as he examines the Rise weaponry stockpiles. He mentions how he is trying to bring change about on Cybertron. Termagax tried evolution, but Megatron is pushing accelerated evolution. But if they're not careful, accelerated evolution will become a crisis. Megatron is not happy because Shockwave is not being careful. As Shockwave protests that they have to react to the situation as it develops with contingency plans, Megatron asks who Shockwave's top lieutenants are and to summon them immediately. Shockwave calls Sixshot and Slipstream. As they arrive, Megatron orders them to stand in the doorway and don't move. Then Megatron turns to Shockwave and knocks him to the ground with a barrel of a rifle from the weapons rack. Megatron proceeds to beat Shockwave savagely, using his strength fueled by full power Energon reserves. Shockwave tries to fight back, but he's no match for Megatron, especially on low power. Megatron rips off Shockwave's gun hand, steps on and crushes his other hand, shatters Shockwave's face and optic, and leaves him barely functional. Megatron makes it clear that he will not tolerate Shockwave's insubordination any further. The Rise and the Ascenticons are extensions of Megatron's will, nothing more. Megatron asks the broken Shockwave if he understands, and Shockwave manages to struggle out a meek yes. Sixshot and Slipstream also affirm they've got the message. Megatron is running this show completely. Meanwhile, Orion Pax and Chromia have a private meeting with Sentinel Prime in his chambers. Sentinel Prime is done playing games. He orders a suspension of the Nominus Edict for the capture and or neutralization of Shockwave, Sixshot, Barricade, Frenzy, and Quake. Unrestricted Energon supplies for these efforts. Further, since normal security operations are not adequate to the task so far, he's bringing in Colonial Security, Hound, and Novastar to oversee things going forward. Chromia and Pax protest, but Sentinel Prime's mind is made up. Finally, they will also take steps to arrest Senator Soundwave. It looks like things are only going to escalate from here on. To be continued. And yeah, as I think that this recent arc, the change in your nature, I think things have been ramping up pretty nicely. The last issue was a few months ago. We had that first little battle with the Rise. Now we have a nice, a good old fashioned slugfest with a good old fashioned beating with Megatron. We finally see the real Megatron come out, the savage, just barely contained anger Megatron. And I like to see the Decepticons really forming here. So I was happy with that little bit of action in this issue and how things are shaping up. And we get a little bit of lore and backstory with Megatron reflecting on the previous war, and we get a little bit more detail about this threefold spark. This ex-Archon guy was apparently a guy who could split himself into three bodies, and he had a clone army. I guess somehow he had clones that he could control, and also Skywarp was one of the people working with ex-Archon, so I guess he used his teleport powers to help ex-Archon escape at some point. So all these little details are filling in the backstory of the previous Transformers War. It's also interesting to see like Warpath and Blitzwing working together, working with Megatron, and just a nice little inversion of what you expect with the previous war. And the art, I think, is really strong here, too. So this is another issue with just Anna Malkova and Bethany Maguire-Smith. And then Joanna LaFuente and Josh Burcham on colors. I think they really do a nice contrast. We have the Bethany Maguire-Smith and Josh Burcham doing the flashback scenes. And then Anna Malkova and Joanna LaFuente doing all the present-day stuff. And Jake M. Wood, I think, is doing a good job with the lettering here. So continuing the proud tradition of Tom B. Long. So good job. And looking forward to more. Daryl, what were your thoughts in this issue? Was this beating enough action for you in this issue?
No.
Okay. Okay.
I was happy to see it. It was drawn well, and it was nice to see Megatron, you know, kind of lose his shit for a bit. I honestly, I had no idea why he was losing his shit. I didn't follow the story as to, you know,
I didn't take it as him losing his shit. I took that as a controlled, planned, deliberate act.
Well, yeah, I mean, he was trying to keep him in line. I get it, right? But I mean, I don't know what Shockwave did to deserve it. It must be just the controlling of Soundwave and all the other stuff behind his back. But honestly, there's so much other stuff in this book that I didn't care about that I just didn't want to know. I wanted something exciting to happen, and it finally did at the end, but it did in a way that I had no idea why it was happening. It's probably a case of the fact that it's been such a big delay in the books coming out. Like, I didn't go back and read 13 or 14 prior to 15. I've just, you know, I get this thing and it's, you know, yeah, I remember, you know, I read the previously or story so far blurb at the beginning. It mentions it reminded me of the guys dying in the last issue. And I'm like, okay, yeah, okay, that happened. And then it gets into all this other stuff with the other characters and, you know, what the hell is his name? The new guy.
Ex-Archon.
I'm like,
yeah.
Don't introduce new guys right now with more strange abilities and shit. Just the story's getting really complicated for me anyway. And we're 15 issues in and I have no idea where this story is right now. So, you know, they mentioned Brainstorm. They mentioned Rubble. You know, now they've got all these other characters that have come back from off world, and I'm so bored with the exhibition. I liked some of the art for the, like, the gladiatorial stuff, and I kind of thought that was very it kind of foreshadowed the image at the end of the issue. Because if you look at the panel, mm-hmm. Megatron's holding a very Shockwave looking character above his head. And then at the end, when he beats Shockwave senseless, he holds him above his head, mind you, with one hand, which I don't know how that works with gravity, but, you know, he's holding him by his, like, by his shoulders with one hand. Yeah. It's just, it very much foreshadowed that previous panel.
That Energon is really powerful. He's really strong now.
Right. Well, I guess if I'm looking at it right now, his one hand is kind of curved back underneath, and it's now under his waist, so that's more centered.
He knows the center of gravity, right. All of his balance.
But yeah, no. Other than the one the beating at the end of the book, I honestly was quite bored with this issue.
Yeah, it doesn't help that we had such a long gap between issues, but I think it's still writing for the trade. I mean, that's not really an excuse, but I think if you have them all together, it does read a little bit better. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's we still, the single issues should be a little bit more, I guess, cohesive. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Jeremy, what did you think?
I enjoyed it. The delay really does kind of hinder the enjoyment, though. I am really starting to enjoy this book, like, a lot more than when it started. It seems like pieces are moving. I thought the art was pretty good. I did notice at the end, it looks like, let's see, who did the last page? Is it Animal Cova? It wasn't like this throughout the rest of the book, but on the last page, I can see the Autobot faction symbols on Optimus starting to go back to kind of what, you know, like Alex Milne would do with it. And kind of, it's not like the stamp. You can tell she's kind of making it her own. Mm-hmm. So I like that. Also on that last page, the... the art or the light source thing above Sentinel Prime, I'm getting a real Matrix feel from that. I thought that was interesting. I'm wondering if that's going to turn out to be something.
Hmm.
If you look at that with like the way the, like the ring around that central planet or whatever, and then the little engraving piece below it, really kind of, I don't know, makes me think of the Matrix.
Mm-hmm. It could also be Cybertron too. So it could be like a
I think that's what it's intended, but just the overall shape of that mm-hmm. with the, like the ring around it and then the little thing below it kind of, I don't know, makes me think of the Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm really enjoying this. Looking forward to the next issue whenever that comes out, maybe by the summer. So it, I think this would really benefit from having reread like maybe the last two or three issues.
Well, that's it for our review of Transformers number 15, and we will move on to Transformers Media News.
All right, in media news this week, just a few things to just kind of clean house on. Because we haven't had a full show like this since before the break, we got a couple Christmas messages. The annual Christmas message from David Kay is up, and you can take a look at it in the show notes here. As well as Here Comes Megatron, Christmas song by Gary Chalk. So you can take a look at that as well. Those are all very fun, and it's nice to see them putting out the annual kind of stuff there to just kind of keep the fandom satiated.
They really need to end up doing a duo.
I think that's probably inevitable. Yeah. Hasbro completed its acquisition of Entertainment One. This sounds like business news, Jeremy. You should be doing this. So Hasbro Corporate acquired Entertainment One and brought it into the fold. Entertainment One is, from what I understood, was a movie kind of company. They sold that. And is this the one that gave them Death Row Records? Death Row. Yeah. So
yeah.
Yeah. Yes. So there you go. Yes. So that happened.
But also things like PJ Masks,
I think, right? Or stuff like that. But this was also a bit of a distribution thing as well, right? So. I remember when I worked at Toys R Us, Entertainment One was the company that kind of ran the movies that were sold in the stores. So, I know they had a whole bunch of employees that would come and kind of put out new movies, and they were the ones who gave us all of the kind of cardboard displays and, you know, made sure that those things were all set up properly. And, you know, usually there'd be somebody in the store once a week to just kind of check things out. But yeah, so that's cool. That's done. There's a Transformers Bumblebee play pack activity book. This is just one of those fun things you'll find at, you know, maybe the dollar store or something like that, just to kind of keep your kids busy on a trip or whatnot. Coloring and stickers and fun and, you know, little games and stuff to keep them busy. And look for that. Transformers Cyberverse Power of the Spark episode 18. Is now available on YouTube. That is all of season 2. So if you are in America, you now have access to all of season 2 on YouTube. If you are elsewhere in the world, you've had access to it for quite some time. Soundtrack Saturdays from Hasbro, the Transformers G1 soundtrack. This is a kind of a fun soundtrack. A lot of 80s tunes in here. So you can take a look at that. There's a link in the show notes for that. And Transformers Evergreen Lenticular Valentine's Day cards. So we've gone from Christmas all the way to Valentine's Day in one media news segment. We've got the every year you're going to see Transformers as a, you know, as a brand is going to have Valentine's Day out. This is going to be no different. 2020 is going to be no different. So you're going to have 32 lenticular Valentine's Day card pack. It's just $2.48. So That's a good deal. You can chip in another $248 and get 32 temporary tattoos. So, wow. That's a good deal. Just what your loved one wants. Anyway, that's it for media news.
All right, and we will finish up the show with convention news.
All right, settle in. We've got lots of convention news going back to before Christmas. Starting with TFCon, they have announced that Andrew Griffith will be attending. He's IDW artist, and I'm not sure if he will be bringing copies of his, that mega print that I got at New York Comic Con, but if he does, I would advise you to check it out. It's huge. It's amazing. I'm sure he'll also be doing commissions and be selling prints. Also, Alex Milne is going to be attending. What more needs to be said about Alex Milne? He's a great artist. He's got Galaxies coming up. I'm not sure if an issue will be out before TFCon or not, even if it's scheduled. Who knows? But if Galaxies is out, if his issue is out, then check it out. Get it signed. Mark Watts is going to be there, and he is the one that did a lot of the classic box art images for G1. And I have not seen him at a convention before, so this is this is really a cool addition.
He came out with that table.
I'm sure he's got
that kind of picture frame table last year that we were talking about.
Oh yeah, I don't know if that ever got funded.
Yep.
Oh, it did? Cool. So, but I'm sure he has some stories that we haven't heard a million times. So that looking forward to hearing what he has to say. Livio Ramondelli is going to be there, coming off of his arc on Galaxies with the Constructicons, and he's got his new creator owned work,
Kill Lock.
What was it called? Killzone or Kill Lock? Kill Lock. So I'm sure he will have those to sign and sell. And Venus Turzo is going to be there. She was the voice of Black Arachnia in Beast Wars. So always good getting another Beast Wars actor back at TFCon.
She's pretty.
Yeah. So that brings us up to date with all the TFCon.
She has a pretty voice.
She's a good looking lady too.
Yes. I was just trying to.
All right. Move now, on. If you two,
I say it every time she comes to a convention, I have to keep it going.
I know.
I
have to be consistent.
Moving on to TF Nation. TF Nation has announced that Kay Zama is going to be attending. I think she's been to a number of these of TF Nations. She is coming. She's like currently working on Death's Head for Marvel, which is great. But she's done a number of other Transformer works, and joining her will be Brian Ruckley, the writer of the ongoing G1, and be really interested to see, what he has to say and how he's, what the audience there at TF Nation, has to comment. That is it for convention news.
All right. Well, that will wrap it up for this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Later.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of Transmissions. But just because this episode is over doesn't mean the Transformers fun has to stop. Join us and other Transformers fans on our Discord chat server by visiting transmissionspodcast.com/Discord. If you would like to learn more about how you could support the Transmissions Podcast, just visit transmissionspodcast.com/support. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.